Hello, hello. I am Monica Metz. Welcome to today's live session. We are talking about why is dinner so hard to make? And we'll look at a lot of the reasons why it's so hard to make, but well, more importantly, probably to you anyway, we will talk about what we can do about that struggle. So hello, welcome. If this is the first time that you're meeting me or coming onto my page, I'm Monica Metz. I am a certified health coach. I also have my certificate in plant-based nutrition from the T. Colin Campbell Center for Nutrition Studies and E. Cornell. And I'm the founder of my membership program, More Veggies, Less Meat, which is all about helping people eat better, feel better, and have fun in the kitchen. So welcome. This is a topic that is near and dear to my heart. This is really kind of the heart of the issue for why people really struggle to get healthier meals on the table on a more consistent basis. Like everybody else, you know, everybody can kind of pull a rabbit out of a hat once in a while and get a great dinner on the table, but it's really hard to sustain over time. So that's what we're gonna get into. This is a series of Facebook Lives that I'm going to be doing on Thursdays. Same time, same channel, 12 p.m. Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern. So tune in for at least the next 3 weeks and I'll be talking about what do we do? Why is dinner so hard to make and what can we do about it? Okay, so if you're joining me live, please let me know if you feel comfortable putting a post in the comment and just letting me know like who you are, where you're from. Maybe you have a certain question you want me to answer during this Facebook Live. I would love to hear from you. So let's start out with a little story. Well, like what is the inspiration behind today's live session? It's something very specific that happened, and I thought, oh my gosh, when I got this little piece of news from the universe, I thought, I've got to do a class about this. I must. So anyway, so on Instagram last week, I posted a series of kind of meal prep videos and things like that. If you're not following me, I would love to connect with you there. I am Mospo over at Instagram. But anyway, I posted a story that said, hey, you're like, basically, what is your number one struggle when it comes to getting healthy meals or getting healthy dinner on the table? And so I did hear back from someone. Hey, Jillian from Dallas. Nice to meet you. Thanks for being here today. So I heard back from a few people, but this particular response really kind of gave me pause. And I'm just going to read it. So this comment came in my DMs and Instagram, and it said, the amount of work, I don't know if you can see, I'm looking at notes here. The amount of work it takes after taking care of two small children, homeschooling, going to school myself, she's getting her bachelor's degree, making home-cooked breakfast and lunch. By the time dinner comes around, I have zero Fs to give. Zero Fs. And so I just thought, oh my gosh, I know this person well. I got to know her at first through the fitness industry. She was one of my all-time favorite instructors. I mean, just so knowledgeable, so passionate, gorgeous on the outside, and just a beautiful human being on the inside. She's just an inspiration and an awesome person. And now she's a mom. She's a great mom. And so when I saw this, I'm like, oh my gosh, here is someone who is totally motivated. She really wants to get healthy meals on the table. She is passionate about eating vegetables. Passionate about a healthy lifestyle, but she's worn out. There's a lot going on in life, right? And so I thought, oh my gosh, I have to teach this class to help people like this person who DM'd me. And so we're gonna kind of talk into this, by the way, is a kind of a multi-step process or framework that I have that I teach my students inside More Veggies, Less Meat. And it's something that's tried and true for me. And it's a system that we need to put into place so that we can get healthier meals on the table more consistently. You notice, like, I'm making a big deal out of saying more consistently because that is really people's challenge. Like, we can all pull off a meal here and there, but how do we make it happen day after day after day? Okay, so let me start off by saying that this class will be really, really helpful for anybody who feels like they're strapped for time. Maybe they are too tired to cook at the end of a long day. Like, a lot of us have really, really long days right now because we're so connected to our screens. So there are a lot of Zoom calls. Our kids might be remote schooling or Zoom learning, or maybe we're even homeschooling those kids now because our schools are closed, or, you know, maybe we didn't like kind of that distance learning option that was presented to us. Bottom line, like, people have really, really long days right now. We're stressed. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, turn on the news, there's a lot to stress about. And just on top of the pandemic that we are all still struggling with, grieving for our old lives, grieving for the way life used to be, wanting that back, that in and of itself is super stressful. And then you add on top of it all the other stuff, like on the West Coast here, we've had all these wildfires, the political drama. I mean, there's just so much going on. And I kind of feel like, well, how much can people take? You know, there's just, we're kind of reaching our limit, right? So at the end of the day, you're probably thinking like, well, dinner, like given everything else that's going on, like why would dinner be my number one priority? And I totally get that. And we'll talk about that. So we're time strapped, we're tired at the end of the day, we're stressed out, or sometimes people are really committed to getting healthy meals on the table, but they have people in their family who are, maybe they have different dietary restrictions or different dietary preferences. And then the primary home cook in the household finds themselves making one meal for, you know, this set of people, and then maybe another meal for just that one person. And so essentially they're making two dinners per night, and that can be exhausting. I mean, I was in that phase for a long time, and nobody did that to me. I mean, I'll take full accountability for it. I was doing that for a long time to accommodate my son, who, you know, he doesn't like the strong flavors. He doesn't like spicy things for sure. And so I was in that space for a long time where I was making something for my husband and me, and then I was making something for him. Started out innocently enough because he was so little. And I just kind of kept going with that because it was the system that I knew, and it was kind of easier for me because I knew it. But over time, it became really cumbersome. And also, I wasn't teaching him the best habits. Now, to go back in time, I would have just, you know, I would have figured it out. I would have employed the same system that I'm teaching people today. But I didn't know it back then. So you get to benefit from all of my trials and tribulations in the kitchen. Okay, so this is part, like I said, this is part of a multi-part series. And so we're covering kind of the first step of that process today. So let's just talk about like the reason it's hard. Like, why is dinner so hard? And I think it's really important to look at those reasons so that we can understand what we're up against, and then we can take action to resolve what's going on in our lives. So I really like to talk to people about meal planning in general, and dinner in particular is actually a 5 to 20 step process. It's a project, really. It's a 5 to 20 step project. So if you think about, you know, pre-COVID days when we were at the office, maybe it's like rolling up on 4:30, 5 o'clock, we're kind of getting ready to go, we're doing those last emails, we're wrapping up a couple projects, we're looking at our schedule for tomorrow, we're all organized, right? Packing up our things, thinking about going home, what are we gonna make for dinner? But let's say at 4:59, like you're all ready to go, like you've already like checked out, like I'm out of here. 4:59, your boss comes in with a big stack of whatever, files. This is the old days. I mean, right now they would just email you something or Slack or whatever. But let's say, let's visualize your boss coming in with a big stack of files. And they say, hey, I know you were on your way out, but this is really important. You got to like tackle this project. We're under deadline and you have to finish it tonight. And you can't leave until you finish this project. How would you feel? How would you feel if somebody came in at the 11th hour while you've already mentally checked out, you're ready to do something else, you are ready to relax, you're ready to get out of there? How would you feel if somebody comes in and they say, whoa, like not so fast. We have a 10-step project you need to do. We have a 20-step project we need you to do. It's going to take about an hour, hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. You would hate that. And you would just absolutely hate that. And so I feel like that vibe is what people experience when it comes to making dinner at the end of the day. They've already wrapped up what they were doing, the Zoom calls, the remote learning, just all of that. Hopefully they got a workout in at some point, but they're all ready to like get to the other side of their day. They want to relax. They want to watch Cobra Kai on Netflix. They want to be, you know, spending time with their family, whatever it is. Like, dinner now becomes that obstacle, that dreaded obstacle that sits between, you know, finishing your day and then moving on to what you really want to do, which is relaxing, doing what you want to do, watch Netflix, hang out with your friends and family. So no wonder we look at dinner with some resentment and dread, really, because, oh, really? Like, I'm so tired. I just want to move on. I just want to, like, enjoy my night. And now dinner, like, that's going to take me an hour? Forget it. I'm just going to dial up caviar. I'm going to have something delivered. That just sounds so much easier. So this is the trap that we fall into because we haven't planned for that 5, 10, 15, 20 step project. That's why it's so hard, because we're just trying to reinvent the wheel every night. It's so hard when we're tired. If you've heard of decision fatigue, it's a thing, you can look it up. We only have the capacity to make so many decisions per day. And so when we're busy responding to emails, responding to messages, teaching our kids, whatever we're doing, that all requires a bunch of decisions. And then now by the end of the day, like, we're physically tired, but then also our capacity to make decisions is diminished. And so for you to come to the end of the day and try to decide, hey, what am I going to make? Like, for one, your brain is tired and it doesn't want to make any more decisions. Sometimes, I'm sure you can agree, it's really even hard to figure out what to order for takeout or caviar or Postmates or whatever. It's just hard to make that decision. Some people are just like, ah, you decide for me. I can't decide. So these are all the reasons why dinner is so hard. Because we haven't planned for it, we're tired, and it's this obstacle. We become resentful. And then we don't want to make those decisions anymore. So that's the why. And by the way, I want to say to this person, this special person who DM'd me that message, I would say, actually looking, if I were coaching her, I would say, hey, you know what? You got a good breakfast on the table. You got a good lunch on the table. Actually, those are our most important meals. We really don't need to be eating the bulk of our calories at dinner time. We just don't, because what's going to happen to those calories? Like, we're not going to burn them off. We're not, generally speaking, we're not working out after dinner. We're not walking around. We're not being active. What are we doing? We're like eating our fill and sitting on the sofa and watching something or reading. But generally speaking, we're pretty, you know, we're chilling in the afternoon or in the evening. We're not doing something that's very active. And so really, and I teach this to my students, breakfast and lunch are really the most important meals. Dinner should be light. You know, but in our culture, dinner is king, it's queen, it's everything. We put so much pressure on dinner to be great because that's when our family's coming together. And just culturally speaking, it's just the message, what's for dinner? And so we put so much emotional pressure on ourselves to deliver this magical meal to cap off the day, when really it's like, you know, dinner can just be a little something. It doesn't have to be this extravagant thing. As long as it's healthy, it's nutritious, it's high in antioxidants, it's high in fiber, filling and satisfying, but not over the top. That is really the best dinner, is a light dinner, like a nice little cup of soup and a giant salad or, you know, whatever it is. But like, the bulk of the calories actually should have been consumed earlier in the day, especially for people who are trying to maintain a healthy weight. So that's just a little side note. It's not really about meal planning and prep and like why dinner is hard, but it's also just to say, I want people to know that, because you don't need to put all that pressure on yourself for dinner. You just don't. We don't need to be eating giant dinners. It doesn't serve our health. It disrupts our sleep patterns. Our body doesn't want to be digesting at night. It wants to be doing other things. The brain wants to detoxify and rest. We need to repair our tissues. There's a whole lot of things that go on in the body. And digestion is not really what the body wants to be doing in the middle of the night. So that's a little aside. So I just want to say, like, hey, if you're really worried about dinner, take a step back. Like, it doesn't have to be the biggest deal. Breakfast and lunch, that's when we should be consuming most of our calories. Okay, so the biggest lesson number two for today, the biggest mistake that I see people making is they just don't have a plan. They don't have a plan. They don't have a full comprehensive plan. And so they might have a meal plan, but they don't have a meal prep plan for working on the building blocks of meals that will become easy, quick, healthy meals during the week. So you need both. You need the meal plan, which is what you're going to eat, and then you need the meal prep plan for, you know, looking at each of those meals as like a 5 to 10, 20 step project how can you take some of the steps of that project and move it to the weekend or some other day where you have more time, more energy, so that half that job is done. So when you come to that dinner time, your meal prep time to get that dinner on the table will probably be like 20 minutes. That's less time, at least most of the time, that's less time than it takes to actually get something delivered from Caviar or Postmates. A lot of times those restaurants, you know, they're 1 hour out. And you want to eat now or you want to eat soon, 20 minutes would be amazing, especially if half that meal is already put together. So I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. We'll kind of dive into that as we go on. But so I said to go back, like, you need your meal plan and you need your meal prep plan. So let's talk about the way I like to describe this is that a meal plan, which people really understand what that is. It's when you sit down, you're like, okay, Sunday, we're going to have this. Ideally, you're doing it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, so you don't have to like think about that every single day. Just do it once, you know, batch process, really great for efficiency. So you sit down anyway, and you're like, okay, like Sunday, breakfast, I'm going to have this, lunch, dinner, and then you keep going throughout the week. Monday, what's for dinner? And so that is the what. Now, the meal prep plan is the how. And so if you think about like in the old days, pre-COVID, when we would go to the gym, this was one of my favorite things. Like I'd go to the gym, they would have the schedule for classes posted on the wall. And I would look at this and I'd be like, oh, sweet. Okay, so like I want to go to like this dance class on this certain day. I'm going to do weight training on a different day. I'm going to do boxing on this other day. So I loved seeing this presented to me in a schedule or a plan for what was available to me. That's really what the meal plan is. It's just deciding what you're going to do. But as we all know, we can look at that schedule. We can look at that schedule on the wall. We can look at the schedule online. You know, I happen to have a Peloton bike. And so like you can check yourself in to these classes, right? Like you can see the whole schedule. You can sign yourself up. And that's one thing, that's the meal plan. You can decide what you're going to do or what you intend to do. But we all know life kind of gets really busy and our schedule can blow up. And then all of a sudden, that meal plan is moot. It's poof, it's gone. Because we had the best intentions, but then all this crazy stuff happened to us. And so we weren't able to deliver on that plan. So that's why I say it's kind of like when you're looking at the class schedule for working out, like you can have all the best intentions, you can be so excited about doing all this stuff, but then when it actually comes to the moment when you need to put on your running shoes or you need to pick up those weights or you need to get on that bike and you're too busy to do that or you're too tired to do that or you just don't want to, that's kind of where this all falls apart. So that's why the meal prep plan is so important, because that involves you actually doing the work and actually getting the meal on the table. Okay, by the way, if you have any questions, where's my mouse? I'm going to scroll down. Just looking at the comments to make sure I didn't miss anything. Okay, so the real magic happens when you are pairing the meal plan with the meal prep plan. Like that is when truly the magic happens. Okay, so what I also wanted to talk about is the people who are the most successful kind of at anything, with working out, in the kitchen, at work, whatever it is. Generally speaking, they're really pretty organized around the most effective parts of their success. And so when it comes to that working out analogy, most of the fittest people, or I should say the fittest people, it's not very random what they're doing. They're usually training for something that gives them a framework to be motivated. And so maybe they have a mileage goal. If they're training for a marathon or a half marathon, they might work out at the same time every day. That's really, really common. It's also really common for the fittest people to get up early in the morning so that before their schedule gets all crazy, they have time for that workout. And so the people who are most successful are the ones who have, whether they know it or not, they have a system in place. They have a set of habits that they're following every single day. And the same can be true for meal planning and meal prep. It's really important for us to actually have those habits and those routines, because the brain does not like to reinvent the wheel every single night or every day. The brain loves habits, because when we have habits, when we have routines, when we have those things in place, the brain doesn't have to figure it out. It's like, oh, okay, like this is Tuesday. I guess you're going for a 3-mile run. On some level, the brain really likes that, because We may not. We may resist it and be like, oh, it's raining outside. I don't want to do this. That's the other factor. But the brain is like, I know what to do. It's a Tuesday. She's going to go do this. So it's really, really great and powerful when we can have a set of routines and systems in place. And so I would say, like, if you are really struggling with your meal prep, you probably are following this kind of systematic framework in other areas of your life to make sure that those things get done. So, coffee. People have very consistent habits and routines about their coffee. When they're going to make it, when they're going to drink it, are they going to have more coffee later in the afternoon? Very specific habits that people have, like, worn that path well, day to day. Skincare routine, brushing your teeth, all of these kind of basic things we have already figured out a habit for, and sometimes you just don't even remember doing it because it's just a habit and you just get into auto mode and you do it. So hopefully, I'm hoping to take you on a journey where you can get your meal prep situation into a habit like that. Okay, so the last part of this today, how do we even start that process? And so, like I said, this is part of a multiple part series. I'll be walking you through this framework. So let's talk about, now that we know, like, how did we get here? I think it's really important to understand that. How do we get there? And then what are the components for putting together our successful framework? So for the first thing I would recommend is really to get ahead of things. Like I said, when we're tired, when it's the 11th hour, we don't want that boss coming in with a stack of work, like, hey, I know you're gonna go home, but I've got this hour-long project. It'll take an hour and a half tops, and then you'll be out of here. Like, nobody likes that. Nobody likes it. So let's just understand, we need to set ourselves up so that we don't experience that moment or that vibe every single night when it comes to making dinner. Especially when we have goals around eating healthy and resolving issues in our body. Maybe we're struggling with high cholesterol, high blood pressure. Maybe we have a weight loss goal. We have dreams of living in our bodies much differently than what's happening today. And the only way we can make that happen, or one of the most powerful ways to make that happen, is to get our meal planning and our meal prep game in order. So the first step in that is to just to have clarity around what's happening, why this is happening. And then the second step would be to just get in front of it. So making a plan so that we don't have those spontaneous moments where we kind of get thrown off, like that boss coming in with all that work. So what I mean by that, today is Thursday. There's a reason why I wanted to have this class on a Thursday, because you can get ahead of it for next week. Thursday is an amazing place to be. Friday is an amazing place to be. Saturday, you're kind of getting a little close to that next week. It might be a little hard to turn the ship around. I mean, you still can. But Thursday and Friday is ideal. Clean slate. You can look at your schedule for the whole next week. And this is what I recommend, actually, is that you start by looking at your schedule. There are two things I would like you to do. Start by looking at your schedule for next week. And get really clear on, oh, okay, like, I have this meeting or I have this commitment. This night, we're going over to a friend's for a socially distanced backyard barbecue. Whatever it is, just make sure that you look at your schedule and you incorporate that into your meal plan. So the meal plan is the what is happening next week. Again, it's like the schedule on the wall or the schedule, on your app to go work out. It's the schedule of what is possible and what's happening and what's on your schedule. So just look at your schedule, try to figure it out. You may discover, like, hey, like, realistically, there's really only 4 nights where I'm making dinner next week. And that can be a giant load off our shoulders when we realize, like, oh my God, I've been, like, stressing about this dinner every night, and actually I only have to cook it 4 times next week. That's a lot different. So just looking at your schedule, incorporating that into your meal plan. Another tip I have is looking at your inventory. I was guilty of this for years, where I get all excited. I actually almost did it this morning, actually. I got like, here's what happened to me. Like, I look at cookbooks or I look online, or I'm just kind of like, I don't know where these ideas come from, but I do develop recipes too. But I'll be thinking about, oh, I really want to make, I had this package of beans that I've been wanting to make all week, from Rancho Gordo. If you haven't checked them out, they're amazing beans. So anyway, I had these, like, yellow eye beans that I got super excited about. I'm gonna make these beans, and then I was like, oh, okay, like I'm gonna use half of that to make a soup, and then I'm gonna use half of those beans to make something else. And then I was kind of like brainstorming, what can I do with those beans? And then I started looking at recipes. I started going to the rabbit hole. And then I was like, oh, here's this recipe for baked beans. It sounds delicious, and that's what I want to do with the other half of those beans. And then all of a sudden, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I need to buy molasses. And, you know, there's all this, like, some of these ingredients that I wasn't sure if I had or didn't have. And then I thought, I was struck by this compulsion to, like, go make these beans today and go to the store. Actually, like, do I have time? I have a Facebook Live today. I don't know. Like, can I go to the store? Can I make this happen? And then I was like, wait a minute, like, you silly girl, like I have like a jar of barbecue sauce that I made earlier this week that I hadn't figured out like what to do with it yet. And I was looking at this recipe and remembering what went into that recipe for the barbecue sauce. And I was like, these are the same thing. Like, really, I might be missing one or two ingredients, not really that big of a problem. But I was like, I can make those baked beans with that jar of barbecue sauce that I already made. Like, it's ridiculous that I almost went down the path of going to the store for on a whim. So what happens is we need to look at the inventory in our refrigerator, our freezer, our pantry, wherever the onions and potatoes are they sprouting? Are they going bad? We need to look at all that stuff that we have on hand before we make a decision about our meal plan. Like, the what are we going to eat next week? So I feel like a lot of people make that mistake. We just get all excited. We want to like go eat healthy. We want to go buy a bunch of vegetables so we can feel good when we look down on our shopping cart, feel virtuous. But the thing is, we might have a lot of that stuff in the refrigerator already, and it needs to be used very soon. So getting ahead of it, and then look at your refrigerator, your freezer, your pantry, all those places where your yummy food is hiding. And I will say also on the freezer that a lot of us stocked up when the pandemic started. We bought a bunch of frozen food. It's still sitting in the freezer. Now would be a good time to use that food because it's been a few months. It might start to develop freezer rot or freezer burn, and you don't want that because you don't want to have to throw away all that food. So now would be a great time to dig into the freezer, get that frozen cauliflower, get that frozen broccoli, turn those into soups, you know, whatever it is. Start to make use of that frozen stuff. You can always restock, but you need to use it before that goes bad too. I mean, it'll stay in there forever. The problem is it'll just degrade and you won't want to use it because it'll be all burned and frozen together, you know? So anyway, so that's the next piece of our puzzle. And then the final tip that I want to share with you today is theme nights. Like Taco Tuesday or Pasta Night Wednesday or Baked Potato Night Thursday or whatever themes appeal to you and to the people that you're cooking for, it's really, really helpful to incorporate those into your meal plan so that every week, every Tuesday, it's Taco Tuesday. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. You don't have to think about it. You can know that it's Taco Tuesday and you can let your subconscious work on that in the background so that, you know, the universe will provide. Like, you may be thinking like it's always Taco Tuesday, and then you don't have to make the same recipe every time. Maybe you make the same recipe twice a month and then you alternate with a different recipe. But what I'm saying is when you put that intention out there, it's going to be Taco Tuesday, and then you let your subconscious work on it. You are open to hints from the universe. Recipes will find you. Things will appeal to you. You'll be flipping through a cookbook and you'll be like, oh my gosh, tacos. I can plug that into Taco Tuesday. That part of it, I don't even know how to describe it. It's just like the universe will conspire to help you. It's awesome when that happens. Because all you did was you planted this intention like, okay, Tuesday is Taco Tuesday. You know, all you need to get started is one or two recipes. And then once you know it's Taco Tuesday, you will just find and discover recipes that appeal to you to mix it up. And so remember how I was saying that the brain doesn't want to think about things all the time. It doesn't want to reinvent the wheel. It doesn't want to like come up with things from scratch. Getting these theme nights into your meal plan is very powerful because one, you don't have to figure it out every night. You just know it's Taco Tuesday night. It's whatever. It's pasta night, DIY pizza night, whatever's, you know, appeals to you and your family. Just kind of set those in place. Let your family know. Maybe they can be part of the process. They can be, you know, coming up with ingredients or ideas. That would be awesome. If it, but you know, like at the very least, they should be helping you with the prep dishes and things like that, in my opinion. So let's talk so let's recap. Like when we're planning, it's Thursday or Friday. Today's a great day to plan. So make your plan, maybe scratch out a little, like get a blank calendar page, or just if you use a planner, look in your planner, put it into your Google Calendar, whatever you like. I think it's kind of nice to like write this all out at first. But then just decide next week, look at your schedule. How many dinners do I have to make? What can those be? What theme nights can I employ to make this easier for myself? Maybe you just plug in like your family favorites just right away. Try to add some more veggies if they're not super helpful or if they're not super healthy, but you know, maybe you come up with like a slightly elevated version of what your family always likes. So maybe adding like a big salad on the side, you know, for like barbecue night or pasta night or whatever it is. Just try to add more veggies in so that eventually you're kind of crowding out some of the not as healthy stuff or not so healthy stuff. Okay, so to recap, we talked about today, we talked about the reason it's hard is because we don't recognize it for the beast that it is, right? We just think it's like, oh, it's little dinner, or it's you know, the most important part of the day, it's dinner. You know, no, it's a beast. It is a 5 to 20 step project that is being thrust upon you at the last minute. And so we need to what do they always say? Like, study your enemy. So what, dinner's not really the enemy, it doesn't have to be, but you know what I'm saying. We need to recognize it for what it is and then plan accordingly. So that's the reason why it's hard. The biggest mistake is operating without a full comprehensive plan. Most people can get that meal plan down. What am I going to make? The magic really comes from when you have a plan for how am I going to make that stuff and when am I going to do that? The how and the when, that's where the magic happens. And we covered when do we start on that process? Get ahead of it. Try to do it Thursday or Friday of the week prior, because that gives you a lot of time. It gives you time to kind of plan your theme nights. It gives you time to look at your inventory, look at your schedule. It just gives you more time so you're not dealing with it at the last minute. Because a lot of people, I mean, they're driving home from work, or maybe not driving home from work these days, but they're wrapping up their work day at home at their computer, and then boom, 5 o'clock or 5:30, 6 o'clock. Now they're like, oh my gosh, now I have to go to the store. I have to figure it out. No, that is so stressful. It's really hard to pull that off on a consistent basis, night after night. We need to have taken care of that stuff earlier in the week. You know, 5 of those steps of that 20-step project, 10 of those steps, those need to be shuttled to the weekend when we have more time, more energy, and maybe, ideally, people to help us. Okay, so that is our lesson for today. Next week, we'll be diving more into this comprehensive framework. It sounds fancy. I mean, I don't mean it to sound, you know, super fancy or complicated. It is just a set of habits and routines and steps that you can take to simplify your life and to help you get dinner on the table with less hassle, more easily, more fun, and definitely with healthier ingredients. So it's set, like it's a framework. It's a framework that I've worked on for a long time, but I'm here to break it down for you step by step so that it's not complicated. That's my goal. Okay, so next week I'll be back here on Facebook Live, same time, 12 p.m. Pacific on Thursday, and we will talk about more of this process. But before I go, I wanted to see if there are any questions. If you have any questions, now would be the time. But I hope this was helpful for you. This person I'm talking about, I just was stunned. I was like, here's a person who is super motivated, passionate about living a healthy life, really great role model for her children. And it just was like someone, you know, bonking me on the head with like this realization that like, gosh, if this person is struggling with that issue of getting dinner on the table, this person who's super passionate about this, loves plant-powered foods, loves cooking, actually. If this person is struggling, then like I need to get in there and help people and just really break this down for people step by step. And so if you're one of those people and you're watching this video and you've been struggling, just I want you to know that I'm here to help you. I'm here to break it down. I love talking to people about getting healthier meals on the table. It is just, it's really what gets me up in the morning, because I know once you have your framework done, you will feel so good. Like, it might be a little tough love for me in the beginning, like, hey, you need to plan that, those meals, you need to get in the kitchen and do that prep on the weekend. It's a little bit of tough love, because I know that if we don't do that, those weeknight meals are going to be so much harder and so much more stressful. And I don't want that for anybody. I am so excited for you, because I know that when you have your system down, you're going to fly through those weeknight meals and it is not going to be a problem. You're going to open up the fridge and you'll be like, oh my gosh, I have soup ready to go. I have burrito bowls. You know, like, I'm actually not even going to be here for dinner tonight, but I can tell my family how to warm it up and it's going to be fine. That is what I want for you. And so that is why I'm teaching these sessions. Jillian says, just want to say, I love theme night. Yes. Theme night is so great. Like, why? Like, we love filling in templates. Have you ever done something like that? Like, done another class, or maybe just going back to class when we were kids, and there are forms, like, you know, fun little surveys or templates to fill out. Like, I love those, because it takes away the limitless, or I should say the crush of limitless options. Like, that is too much for people to deal with. But if I gave you a template and that template said Tuesday is Taco Tuesday, see how that just, it kind of eliminates all that overwhelm. And then you're like, okay, I can just focus on Taco Tuesday. I know I can make that happen. Like, that's the value of it. Having a theme night just takes the edge off of it all. It just gives your brain something to do. And your brain's like, fine. Like, your brain was probably saying, yes, I was struggling when you wanted me to come up with 7 dinners out of the blue. But if you tell me Taco Tuesday, I can do that. So that's why it's so helpful. And Jillian, I'm so glad that was helpful to you. Okay, my friends. So that is it for today's installment on why is making dinner so hard. We are going to be working our way through the steps to make that easier for ourselves, to make it more enjoyable, and ultimately to make those healthy meals happen much more quickly. So I hope you enjoyed this, whether you join me live or recording. I love to help. As you can tell, I'm super passionate about this topic. I'm so glad you joined me, and I will see you hopefully for the next session. Okay, take care out there and eat lots of veggies so that you can feel amazing. Thanks for joining me today. Take care.